Dolly, did I tell you? Yeah, I told you about the 6 foot tall cardboard TARDIS that my best friend sent me in the mail.
Is it as tall as you are or taller than you?
It is slightly, it is almost as tall as I am. I'm 6 foot three. It's about 6 feet tall.
I hate all you tall people. God.
I like that because he sent you a commitment. Like, I mean, that's a decorating statement that you're going to make now.
That's basically him saying, I own you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with it, though. It's 6 feet tall and made of cardboard. It's like a standee.
You, like, are you married?
No.
Burn it.
Burn it in effigy.
Burn it.
I thought about trying to hawk it off onto one of the listeners, and then I realized, well, I don't want to lose listeners, so.
Hey, I got you this chore. Enjoy.
Welcome, everybody, to the Lonely TARDIS, Episode 7, A Trip Through Time Lords in Space, your weekly Doctor Who podcast. I am Dali Domofsky. As usual, joining me is Steven Strom.
Hey, welcome to My Doctor Who, My Doctor Sydney and Me, the podcast for any era.
Okay.
Get it? That was from Twitter. I thought that was funny.
Sean Norton.
Hello. I don't even know how to follow that. Hey. Hi. That was awful.
And the reincarnated Sydney and Justin McElroy.
Hi.
Thanks for having us back.
Thanks for being back. We enjoyed you guys last time, and we're glad to have you back this time. A special episode, not only because it's the finale wrap-up, but also it's Sean's birthday. So make sure you guys,
I didn't know it was Sean's birthday.
Yeah, make sure you guys send all the birthday presents to sidequesting.com at 1821, and I will make sure I get them over to Sean. Not happy birthday, Sean.
He will make sure to pawn them off right away.
Yeah, I'll make sure I pawn them off right away. Beautiful, beautiful. So this is the big finale episode. We've got a lot to talk about today, kind of centered around the finale. We learned a lot about River Song, the silence. We found out what the question was that we've been chasing the whole time. We'll talk a little bit about the season in general and kind of how we felt season six went, maybe a little bit of our hopes for next season, and then where are we going to go with this show? Because we won't have any more Doctor Who until the Christmas episode, and then who knows when after that.
Ugh.
Yeah, Justin, you mentioned withdrawal, so.
Yeah.
Would that I had a TARDIS of my own. I would travel forward in time to the premiere of the next season of Doctor Who.
Oh, man.
I would stop during Christmas for some wassailing and the special.
I do have to say that I watched the time belt this morning just so I can have more time traveling fun.
I hope you had fun in quotation marks there.
Yeah.
You did air quotes.
Holy shit. That's like trying to melt down brown sugar and inject it into your veins because you don't have enough money to buy heroin. Like,
educational brown sugar, but still. Point.
The Lonely TARDIS, where you can learn how to make drugs.
Oh, man.
So everybody had a chance to watch the finale episode, which was last night. We're actually recording this one a lot earlier than we normally record because we wanted to make sure that we hit the high note with the finale. We got it out there. So, it was titled The Wedding of River Song, which you don't even – the wedding doesn't even really take place, the quote-unquote wedding, until the end of the episode. But I just want to give a quick shout-out to AT&T. For screwing up my DVR recording right when that entire thing took place. So I missed the final 10 minutes of the episode. I had to scour around. Kids, I don't recommend this. It's illegal, probably. Yeah. I had to scour around the old Pirate Bays this morning to make sure I got the finale. So thank you, AT&T. You've turned me into a life of piracy and illegal acts. But
they did this to you.
You saw them hit me. You guys all saw them hit me first.
I think it's totally justifiable. I mean, completely defensible.
Yes.
I just had this image in my head of you walking into an AT&T office and punching out the first person you saw. And when everybody looked at you to ask why, you just went like, we have to be even.
I torrented a good bit of all of this season, except for one episode I bought on Xbox Live. Now, here's my theory. Here's my justification for that. The other ones are on Netflix. So whatever check the BBC is getting does not increase when there's another episode. So I've already chipped in for my portion of Doctor Who, I feel like, personally. And I bought a sonic screwdriver. Somebody's getting a slice of that, right?
yeah. Somebody's making some money somewhere.
It actually kind of sucks because we don't have HD. Our BBC channel is standard def, so I got kind of used to seeing it. Don't roll your eyes at me. It's different.
I still can't tell the difference between the two. It's all TV.
Don't you do this to me.
No, I'm serious.
There's no difference in HD and SD. We all know that.
Exactly.
I think he was being sarcastic.
Yeah. Oh, well, as long as I wear my glasses, it's the same either way.
I think it's because of Sydney that the term girlfriend mode has been coined in video games. Not just Sydney. People like Sydney, I think.
Right? People like Sydney. Way to go,
hey,
Sydney.
Hey now. I'm a wife, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not,
man,
a girlfriend. Yeah. I've graduated.
Okay. I like that. That's good.
Justin, can I ask which sonic screwdriver that is?
What I have is the 11th Doctor screwdriver. I think it's the coolest looking, and I'm thinking about going as him for Halloween. So that was my justification for
very
purchasing
nice.
It.
I did that last
purchasing
year.
Purchasing it a month ahead.
Well, you gotta be sure.
You gotta be sure.
Gotta break it in.
I recommend that. I
you
did that last
see
year.
What the mileage was, is like.
It was fantastic. Right? Nobody knew who I was, and then when I told them who I was, they're like, Doctor Who? What? Doctor Who? What?
Exactly.
Doctor Who?
Exactly.
You nailed it.
So,
well, at least he'll be going as the Doctor. I mean, at this point, my plan is to go as a companion. So how do you explain that?
I told her to go as River Song, but
that's true.
I don't think that'll be any more identifiable.
That's true.
Not at all.
Well, is she older? Is she older than you, Justin?
River Me? Song?
Is she? No, is Sid?
Alex,
I mean,
is
Sid, I suppose. But no, I don't know if that's I don't know if that's impolite. I'm in college.
No, it's okay. I'm not. I'm younger.
Oh, okay. Because I was just going to say, because
like,
you could get
like
the,
really
the, all the graduate jokes.
Sure. Yeah.
All those graduate jokes, right?
Classics. Plastics. That's a good one. Classics. Sean, were you surprised, as long as we're talking Doctor Who, were you surprised at how well made the sonic screwdriver is? It's a really nice toy.
I like it a lot. I like it a whole lot. I don't understand why assuming you and I have the same one, once you send it, you can only press one button and the other button completely just pops out.
I don't know.
It's weird. But other than that, I love it.
It's really nice.
I'm holding my sonic screwdriver right now.
Can I maybe point out part of why me getting that 6-foot-tall cardboard cutout of a TARDIS is kind of tragic, is because that guy who I got that for, or who got that for me for my birthday, for his birthday a few months ago, I got him a replica of the Star Trek, the original series communicator, in the hopes that he would kind of get the hint, because he knows how huge of a Doctor Who fan I am, and get me a sonic screwdriver. Instead, I got a 6-foot-tall cardboard cutout of a TARDIS. I really wanted that sonic screwdriver really bad, but he did not pick up on that.
I know what you're getting from me for Christmas.
Oh.
An 8-foot-tall TARDIS. Suck it.
Oh, no. So made of plywood.
But I'm jealous of you guys.
Made of plywood
Merry
and asbestos.
Christmas, your
subsidiary. Asbestos, yeah.
And I took out your door and I replaced it with this. I'm Hanukkah.
That's as best as can get.
Somebody had to say something because nobody else.
Dead
silence.
Oh,
Dolly, do you have any Doctor Who knickknacks?
I have nothing Doctor Who related in my home.
Really?
If you could actually believe that. Well, I mean, I got into Doctor Who last year. through Netflix, and so slowly building up the show, trying to watch every episode. I think now I'm at the point where I can start getting really geeky about it since I've finally gotten my wife into watching it along with me. And
oh, nice. Yeah, so. I actually bought – well, I didn't buy it. My friend Bill Mudron, who used to work at, I believe, 1UP and is also a really great artist, did a lot of prints, Doctor Who-related prints. If you haven't seen them, Google Bill Mudron and Doctor Who and look up his prints. They're awesome. And he sells them, and you should buy them because they're really neat if you like neat things.
Oh, so speaking of neat Doctor Who stuff, did anybody see Justin Russo's new Doctor Who poster and T-shirt thing?
What?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see that, Dahlia? Tweeted it.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's part of his like Facebook beta thing where he wanted us to do like people to vote on a mashup, like a vote on a TV show and a cartoon or something like that, and it got mashed up he did a Doctor Who thing.
No, I haven't seen that either.
Oh, I'm sorry. The mashup is a different thing, but the Doctor Who thing, it is adorable.
It's way cute. It's a fun take on it. It's not quite the hard-ass Doctor Who thing I expected, but I guess that wouldn't be maybe suiting to the series.
And Justin had never seen Doctor Who up until that point either, so I mean, maybe he's not aware of just how dark it gets sometimes. Because a lot of people watch the show and they think it's pretty silly and goofy and, you know, just for fun and stuff. I mean, it is just for fun, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, but it's a great shirt. You guys should look that up. I'm talking to listeners when I say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we'll have people do that.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Go give Justin Russo some of your money. The guy needs it. He's an artist.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
Okay, there you go.
We'll post it on the website. We'll support our main man over there, Justin Russo over there. All right, so let's get into the Wedding of Riversong. Now that we've had enough chit-chat to warm us up.
Enough chit-chat about Doctor Who. Let's chit-chat about Doctor Who.
To be fair, we were chit-chatting about our Doctor Who junk, not the Doctor Who junk that everyone can enjoy, which is the actual Doctor Who.
Yeah, the actual Doctor Who. We actually have Matt Smith in a giant plastic jar. In my kitchen.
Man-sized jar.
In a man-sized jar. The poor guy, we forgot to feed him. He's getting all gangly and
not to lose.
Not to keep us on keep going off on tangents and stuff, but did anything ever come of like trying to get Arthur Darvill or anybody on the show?
Still working on it.
How did you decide on him? How did you choose?
Rory's the baddest ass character on the show, next to Matt Smith. Rory's just that dopey, lovable Rory Williams.
Are you telling me that next to the only other male lead, he's the most exciting?
Basically, if you had to choose between one of two male leads to get on a podcast and Matt Smith was taken, you could always go with Rory Williams, who's the only other male lead.
Him or fat Winston Churchill.
I also wanted to look for headless blue guy, but we'll see if we can nail him the next time.
Yeah. Worst case, we should get that weird eye patch chess playing dude if all else fails.
That's true.
So our options are Matt Smith or Chubby Buddy. I like that. Chubby Buddy.
By the way, when you guys saw the blue head, did that just not like bring flashbacks of John B. from Pee-wee's Playhouse? I thought that he was going to open up the front of that box and say, "Mecca like a high, Matt Smith."
Oh, that's...
You referred to him as Matt Smith, too. What up?
Well, he's a genie. He can break the fourth wall. It's one of his powers.
Oh, goodness.
Right, well, sorry. I derailed you.
I don't even think we were on the rails yet.
Yeah.
The rails going through London in the middle of the sky.
Funny you should say that.
There we go.
So the Wedding of River Song, written by Stephen Moffat, directed by Jeremy Webb. It was the season finale for season 6 of the reincarnated Doctor Who series. It was actually... It kind of tied back the plot to that very first episode of this season, as well as some of the notes that took place in season 5 with the silence and things like that. But For those who don't know, it follows the Doctor as he appears in this fixed point in time. For those people that watched last week, closing time, the Doctor kept mentioning how tomorrow is his last day. He dies tomorrow, yada, yada. 22nd of April. And so this episode takes place on the 22nd of April, but thanks to the circumstances that led up to it, all of time is now at a standstill and everything has kind of happened at once. So the show opens with pterodactyls flying in the air and cars attached to balloons and Roman warriors and the War of the Roses and now in its second year taking place. So there's a lot of things took place all in this one point in time. And nobody understood why until Winston Churchill
He picked up like a hundo, right?
Oh, since the last time we saw him. At least, yeah.
Well, actually, in the opening clip of the show from the week previously when they showed the preview of the next episode, I thought that was Winston Churchill at first, and then I saw that same preview again, and every time I saw it, I had to wonder to myself if that really was him, because I swear to God, he was almost unrecognizable, because he did look a lot bigger.
He like had a whole Cassandra hanging off of his neck. It was
So
you remember? She's the last human stretched out.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
It was good. You have to explain it.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm.
Fuck you guys.
It's actually historically accurate because when Winston Churchill really was involved in the almost total disintegration of time with Doctor Who, then.
When he was the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, he was actually Caesar Churchill.
Then he was that fat. That's the whole thing. So,
look it
up, guys. Look it up.
Crack open your history books, you high school dropouts.
And so he brings in the soothsayer, as the Doctor's name was, in that frozen moment in time, and asks him about, why is everything – here we go. Why is everything timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly?
Yes.
Sorry. Sean, sorry. I stole your line, Sean. So
it's okay.
You got it backwards, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
Whatever.
Whiny, you botched whiny. It, so it doesn't count.
There you go. I'm going to get through this description whether you guys want me to or not. The Doctor kind of explains that – he kind of tells him a story of how time got to encapsulate this one moment and – says it all deals with a woman. And at that point, Winston Churchill, what I loved was him leaning in and say, "Oh, really?" Or he had that kind of,
Tell me more.
Tell me more. And he says,
"Hell." The same look he gets when he sees a bucket of caramel corn.
Oh, shit.
And the Doctor's response was, "Hell in high heels," which was kind of a cute little quote there. And then the rest of the story takes place with the time all jumbled up and Amy and Rory rescuing the Doctor the Doctor finding out that he has to basically marry River Song for time to get put back into place and defeat the Silence, which we think happens. And that's the end of the episode until we come to find out that, hey, there's actually the reason the Silence wanted the Doctor dead in the first place was the Doctor knows the answer to this question that's as old as time itself, and the Silence need to kill the Doctor before he answers this question. So,
because it will destroy the universe or something.
Or something to that extent, yeah. They have their reasons. So that's kind of the episode in a nutshell. I didn't want to reveal too much so that we could maybe talk more during the show. So who wants to go first? Let's hear from our guests, Justin and Sydney. I mean, what did you guys think about the episode? Just kind of the episode as a whole.
You first.
No, you start us off.
You start. You go.
This is why you should stop referring to them as one entity, Dolly.
Yeah. You gotta. We're separate. We're two people. We got detached to the hip.
All right. We'll start with the lady, Sydney. Sydney,
no, I'll go first. Excuse me.
Now, once you get him talking.
I got glared at, so I'm going to go first. To address my sort of feeling on this, I have to talk about the intro to the episode in the sort of previously on Doctor Who. They show the, is it Tesseractus or Tesseract?
Tesselecta.
Tesselecta. Mecha-lecha high. Mecha high. They show that, which is a person-shaped ship that can take on the look of anybody. And they show it in the previously on, and then they bring it up in the episode for what doesn't seem like a great reason. Like, it just sort of appears for 30 seconds. So when that happened, I thought, oh, okay, so he's going to – that's what – he – it's – the Tesseract is on the beach. I gotcha. That's what gets killed. So for me, once I decided that, like, it removed a lot of the, I think, drama from the episode. Because when your whole plot hinges on the Doctor's going to get killed, like, no, he's not. Yeah, it's Doctor Who. He's probably not going to beef it. What I kind of assumed and maybe even hoped for was that if your whole plot hinged on the Doctor dying, something else would have to be lost to keep that from happening. I assumed that to keep sort of the gravity of that going, that there would have to be somebody else die maybe, or something else really tragic happen to keep that from happening, because of course we know it couldn't happen. And basically what he used is – him being clever to get out of it, which is good, but the best, I think the best sort of like biggest Doctor Who stories, he can't clever his way out of them, because that's sort of his, you know, his utility knife is being clever and getting out of situations. And I guess I was just a little disappointed that the episode had great writing and great moments, but as sort of like an overall impression, I think I was left a little bit – I think it was a little unfortunate that he got out of it sort of as apparently unscathed as he did.
Sure. I agree with that totally. Yeah. I mean, I didn't personally – I mean, I don't want to, you know, take this off into my own spin thing, but I just kind of wanted to play off of what Justin was saying and just, yeah, say I didn't quite pick up that it was going to be the Tesseract that he was going to be in, because I'm apparently an idiot, because I realized at the very beginning of the episode that it was going to have something to do with the Tesseract, but then I totally forgot about it in the rush of images and things that were going on during the episode. So
a lot of red herring stuff. The season, like the flesh, for example, would have been another perfectly acceptable, you know, got out of it.
And then, or even, I don't think we mentioned it when you were last on, but I think last week I mentioned the fact that, like, the way that they deal with the Doctor's death in that first episode of this season almost exactly mirrors what happens to the Master at the end of the third season, where the Master is shot and then doesn't regenerate, and then they burn his body, but then the Master came back. So I thought that they would maybe reach back to season 3 with John Simmons, do something similar to that. I thought that would have been another possibility. But sure. Yeah, the Tesseract, I think that the Tesseract didn't really occur to me. Maybe it was almost my brain was telling me that it couldn't be the Tesseract just because that was so recent and that was so so obvious, or, you know, so maybe I kind of just like unwittingly skipped over it in my head. But yeah, it did seem kind of, I agree with you, like some of the best episodes are where he has to lose something in order to continue going up forward, or he can't clever his way out of something, like you said, which is a very good way of putting it, like Waters of Mars, where he does the exact same thing that seems to happen here. He does clever his way out of it, but even clevering his way out of it doesn't quite save it.
I disagree with you about Waters of Mars, because I think that that's a good example of he wasn't clever. He violated all of time space and maybe had to die as a result. Maybe. I mean, maybe like led up to him. Like he didn't, like he knew the way out of it, just take him out, but he decided to violate what was presumably a fixed point, right? Wasn't it their death
right,
a fixed point?
A fixed point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which does raise the question. In this episode, all the time crashing together was a violation of the fixed point. Why didn't that happen when the Doctor saved the...
when he the saved lady. The Bowie base one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That same thing occurred to me, and the only, like, the entire episode I was kind of thinking about that. And the only thing that occurred to me was maybe, I mean, obviously this is just me completely spitballing that they've never said anything on the show or anything as far as I can tell, but it was maybe because he's a Time Lord that, and he, was the one who tried to violate the rules of time and everything. Whereas in this case it was River Song and she is not a Time Lord. She's, you know, mostly human. She's got Time Lordy bits to her, but she's not, quite to his level. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he did it. Maybe he did it with somehow with more finesse than we realize. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea, but.
It's interesting you bring up War of the Mars. I never even thought about that one. And I guess they played that one out where when he did change things, it kind of spilled over. And so the future was changed. But he made it seem like because he saved certain people, then they would still go on and things would still kind of be okay. Versus this particular quote-unquote fixed point where if it didn't happen, then everything was going to implode on itself. What I flash back to is actually season one, way back with Eccleston, when they tried to save Rose's father. And when that kind of went to hell and then all the Reavers or Reapers or whatever showed up and started, like, oh, yeah, picking people out of time.
Right. Well, they have a lot of explanations for how this works, don't they?
And I thought that was much – in my personal opinion, I like that a lot more than the really, really, really weird kind of stretched times not moving thing and all of history's happening at once. I don't know. I liked it as a set piece. I thought it was really fun to look at, but
certainly flamboyant. I mean, it was, yeah.
That's something Sid was saying to me after the episode. You thought that it was a little weird that that was the.
If you think about it for more than 3 seconds, it all unravels. I mean, in terms of time's not moving, yet everybody else is moving and going all around, and supposedly history is all converging on itself. But then, wouldn't that be like everybody in existence ever in the same spot? I mean, it was weird. Well, it's really, really weird.
Right, because like even Dolly brought up that one very specific point of the War of the Roses enters its second year. Well, if all of time and space is happening at the same time, shouldn't the War of the Roses be entering its first year and its second year and its third year, or however many years there was a War of the Roses all at the same time? Like that could have been something they maybe showed. Like they could have even said, yeah.
Yeah, and fundamentally, if time's not moving, shouldn't everybody just be, like, frozen, just standing still? It's weird. Even for – I mean, obviously, Doctor Who is – you know, you kind of let a lot of things go. But I felt like that was a little bit of a stretch too.
Sure. Well, I think one of the things we kind of talked about is that it's like how many different ways can we say the world's about to end? It's like another way to say, oh, everything's falling apart right now. And I think, you know, as a fixed point in time, the death of the Doctor – I don't know, maybe you could make the argument is a bigger deal fixed point in time, so the consequences are more severe for that being reversed. I don't know, but that was kind of the way I looked at it was, well, I mean, if we're dealing with fixed points and rating them of in importance, the death of the Doctor is probably a pretty big deal.
I guess, but so I guess because we don't really know what's going to happen in the fields of wherever or the 11th fall or whatever, so I guess that's kind of an out, but we're in agreement that the fixed point isn't even his death, right? It's just a perception of his death.
Right.
That the universe has to.
I would agree.
He had to be there on that beach. I think is what he said exactly.
Right. Right. Okay.
Because it goes back to what River Song had said in which episode was I never know episode titles when she told him, "Now you're someone everyone fears. The name of the Doctor is someone to be afraid of now." And that's
a good man goes to war.
Exactly. And that was what he had become. And so in order to help reverse that image, he has to disappear. And that perception is key to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Sally, what did you think?
Just of the overall show?
Yeah, just the episode.
So I really enjoyed the episode from an entertainment standpoint.
Sure, yeah.
There was fucking dinosaurs. There was – there were Romans. There were Daleks. I didn't see a Cyberman, but I'm pretty. Oh, guys, hold on. We're getting a transmission.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. What is this? Hello.
Hello, Time Lords and Time Lady.
Oh.
Oh God, he's back.
he's back, Dalek Bor. Why are you calling us?
Bor is unhappy.
Unhappy. Why are you unhappy?
The great Dalek race only has in this episode.
You should be happy with it. Whoa, calm down there. We didn't mean to.
Shut up, human.
Oh, all right. Okay, I guess I'll be quiet here.
Only one scene, and as a weakling.
Well, I mean, it was kind of pivotal to the story, don't you think? I mean, it was.
I'm going to kill Stephen Moffat.
Whoa! Sorry, there's not going to be any murders happening on this episode.
Hey, Sydney.
Yes.
Uh oh, what's going on here?
Why don't you lose that zero and come keep the master race?
Bro, are you Dalek? Are you Dalek Boar? Are you flirting all of a sudden?
Dalek Boar is lonely.
Well, you're going to be lonely for a long time because we don't appreciate that kind of flirting with our. With our guests.
You humans.
All right, we're gonna hang up on Dalek Bork here. He was,
oh man,
he's having.
I wish
issues,
I could.
Apparently.
I could just picture Justin's face right now.
When a Dalek is hitting on his wife. Anyways, back to what I was saying. This show had a little bit of everything.
What the fuck?
It's something.
Yeah.
It's, how do we recover from this?
I don't know.
I don't want to be a wet blanket, by the way. I agree with you in that it was tremendous. Like, I had a lot of fun. And to get hung up on the plot of Doctor Who is probably to watch Doctor Who wrong, I guess.
Yeah, because I think there's plot holes in every single episode of Doctor Who that we've ever watched. And I mentioned to the guys before the show, it's kind of like Lost, where Stephen Moffat's like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need an explanation for this. Whatever. The Dalek is green, so screw it. Yeah, they're our friends now. I enjoyed it. It didn't wrap up a ton of stuff because there were still a lot of questions, obviously, that came out of it. But it was entertaining, and I found myself, you know, kind of on the edge of my seat a couple times throughout the episode, figuring out what was going to happen. At the same time, everything was completely obvious from the very beginning. And I think we talked about it in a couple episodes back about the what our predictions – actually, last episode about our predictions – and how the Doctor is going to find a way out of it. Either he's going to be a clone or something, which has been done a billion times before, but they kind of did it again. So you start to expect that from Doctor Who, that he's going to – the clone's going to die, essentially, is what happens at every finale. But I enjoyed it. You know, it was kind of predictable, but at the same time – well, you know, you don't need massive surprises until, you know, they did mention the big question at the very end, which I was kind of happy that was the question.
Right.
You know, and you don't hear it till the actual, like, the last sentence of the show where, what was the blue guy's name?
Jombie.
Jombie, where Jombie turns and says, he drops his PB Herman shtick and says, aren't you going to ask the question? And I think he ends up saying, you know, Doctor Who, which is the question. So I thought that was kind of cool, kind of cute and cool.
And I also liked, you know, and I thought it totally did, is we keep all through the season, we've kept, since we've met River Song, alluding to this relationship between them and how important she is to him. Mm-hmm. And I thought this really kind of underlined it because she freaking disintegrated or tried to disintegrate time.
Yeah.
To stop his death. I mean, and I don't know. For me, I thought that was super cool. I already thought she was cool, but that endeared her to me as a watcher.
Would you stop time? Would you disintegrate time for me?
Of course.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Sydney pointed out.
The rest of us really appreciate that. Thanks.
Talk about crazy plot holes. Sydney pointed out one to me after we watched the episode that was not addressed. And once she mentioned it, it bugged the hell out of me.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. What
bring
was
it? Bring it on.
It was the one with.
If I want to hear this.
With Amy. With and the flesh.
Wait, what?
Why Amy was the flesh and
oh, okay.
When she.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh well, we had been kind of rehashing things.
Yeah, we had
in
been going over the season. It wasn't this episode specifically, but.
Oh sure.
And it occurred to me that the Doctor knew for some undisclosed period of time that Amy. Was not Amy, but was in fact the flesh version of Amy while she was on the TARDIS, and that she was somewhere And I wonder why he waited so long to do or say anything about it, because obviously she was somewhere, not you know, it was against her will and maybe unsafe, maybe, you know, in deathly peril.
Well, I mean, to me, I mean, maybe I'm just pulling things that are out of my ass here, but I felt that Amy, the logical point for Amy to have been replaced with the Flesh was when the Silence kidnapped her in the first two-parter there at the Day of the Moon, when she says that they say you've been here for weeks and whatever. And then in the episode with the Rebel Flesh, he says that he suspected that something was wrong, but was kind of trying to formulate his ideas and whatnot. And the reason that they went to the Rebel Flesh area was because he needed to get like the readings from the Flesh to be able to test her to see if that was her. So I'm wondering if he knew something was wrong with her, but didn't know what it was and didn't want to tip his hand too early. Because as we've seen, there's clearly lots of different ways that people can impersonate other people in this universe. So maybe he didn't want to, maybe he didn't want to make a move until he knew, until he was absolutely sure what it was, so that he knew how to deal with it.
Sure. That makes sense.
I mean, you know, this is suspension of disbelief. This is me filling in gaps that they leave, but that's kind of part of watching Doctor Who, I think.
Well, and it makes me feel better anyway than thinking that the Doctor was like, well, I don't think that's Amy, but hell, I don't know what's going on. We'll just chill for a while with whatever this robot chick is and figure it out later.
Okay. Robot chick, yeah.
I think I think, sorry, go ahead, Sean.
No, it's okay, Justin. I'll go ahead.
No, I insist that you go ahead. It's your birthday.
Oh, okay.
Get a room. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's funny because when you look back at it, he took all that time to kind of figure that out. But it's interesting because it did take, what, 6 episodes? I mean, I think that it was established that she was taken before America. I think I read that. I could be wrong. I could be making that up. But either way, you've got about 6 episodes of Doctor Who where his companion is kind of missing in action, and he knows it. I mean, he says he went back to the gangers of the Flesh or whatever to see it in its early days and figure out how it worked and everything. So he knew. But I think that's interesting, and it's one of my – I guess we can circle back to this, but it's one of my main criticisms about this season overall is they had such an amazing arc that they established in the very beginning, and then there were things that happened in between, like it's no big deal, pirates and whatever, and then Amy's baby and all that stuff, and then that gets forgotten about and they go on adventures like it's no big deal for 4 or 5 episodes. And I think that's really strange. I find it very strange that with such an overall plot hanging in the background, especially now with this finale, the Silence really – episodes 1 and 2, huge threat, are going to be the end of the Doctor, the game changing, all that. And then you don't see them again until the end, and then you learn almost nothing about them. And that kind of bugs me. There's a couple things from the finale that bug me, and that's really one of the bigger ones is that – this huge, you know, new enemy, this whole, you know, show dominating enemy goes back in the shadows after season or episode 2, and then we see them again in the finale, but we see them in an alternate universe again with the alternate universes, and then even when they're there, they just kind of pop out of their tanks for a little bit, then get shot down, and then it's over. It bugs me. It bugs me that so much of that was left out there. And so much happened in between that wasn't, aside from a couple of standout episodes, really wasn't relevant to everything else that was going on.
Didn't Kavarian, Madame Kavarian, say that they were a religious race, a religious sect or something?
Yes, and speaking of her, is there a more worthless enemy? I mean, I don't understand at all what happened there. You know, we get pop-up advertisements of her throughout the season, and then she shows up and takes the baby and runs away. And then the next time we see her, they kill her off. Like, her own Silence kills her off. So I don't even understand what the point of her was. I don't know anything about her except that she worked with the Silence or is the Silence or something. It was weird. It's really, really weird that all of that stuff really, like, was underlined for a long time. And then you have your final, you know, episode and nothing comes of it.
Well, I mean, they killed her. They didn't kill her off. They rebooted that universe, so she's still knocking around out there somewhere.
Right, right. That's but
I think it's speaks.
Everybody. I'm sorry. Wondering how come all these non-Time Lords can? I get it with Amy and the whole crack at her wall, and she's special, yay. Mm-hmm. But how come Kavorian or whatever her name is knew what was going on in the bubble universe? I don't. How come everybody? There was a lot of. I felt. except for the doctor, kind of knew what was going on. And it's like, why didn't you just die at the lake? It's like, what? You're in this kind of trap bubble universe where everything's going wonky and
well, hey, yeah, wait a minute.
Well, hold on. I mean, the reason that they are able to see that isn't because they've been in the TARDIS or whatever. It's because they're time travelers. So, like, Captain Jack.
Oh, okay.
Captain Jack is aware of all that stuff too because he was a time traveler. Like, they've established that humans have time travel, like, pretty early on, like within the 25th century or something like that in the Doctor Who universe.
Right,
so.
The time agents. Okay.
I think that it speaks to keep in mind that, like, and I think you guys would probably all agree with this. When I grouse about Doctor Who, it's not, I think of it as more of like almost like an academic exercise. Like, I'm not like complaining like Doctor Who's fallen off. Just like, you know, pluses and minuses or whatever. But I think that a lot of the problem with this season is that Sydney and I talked about what if River was the companion, you know, next season or whatever. And what we came down to is what's essential to the companion is A, she has to be someone the doctor from a narrative perspective. The companion has to be someone the doctor explains things to because we as the audience don't understand the universe, so the doctor has to explain them to us. That's like purpose one from a narrative perspective of the companion.
Oh, yeah. That's why they were invented on the show, basically.
Sure. But purpose two is that it needs to have somebody in peril because you can't put the doctor in peril, really, because he's just going to regenerate. We know it only happens every few years. So you can't threaten the doctor from, again, narratively. Who you can threaten is the companion or whatever. I think that in this season, the person they put in peril was the doctor. And as right. I said earlier, they can't kill the doctor. So
right. There were no real stakes.
The stakes. That's the exact word I would use. You can't put the companion in peril. And if I had been, and I know it would have been difficult, but I almost would have rather they parted ways with Rory and Amy, half a season ago, like before the break, because in this case, what you have is a really, I mean, how artificial was that? It already seemed weird, but how artificial was their whole parting of ways, considering it was just an excuse to give Craig an episode, because they were going to get all back together the very next episode.
Right.
I just wonder how the stakes could have been raised if it was River in peril, if that was the danger, is that something could happen to River. Because I think I really would have bought into that.
But you can't because you know how – unless you rewrite time. But then if you rewrite time, then you abolish the introduction of River in the first place.
We know how River dies. We've seen River die, and I bet they hate they did that.
Right.
Wow. I didn't. I never even thought about this. This is – holy shit.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, this is – I think I'm on the same page as Justin with the pacing of the season. Now that it's come to a close, now that we've got the finale which admittedly did answer questions and raise new questions, you really can look back at it as a whole and see again. Like, I guess the best way to put it, the most diplomatic way to put it, is pros and cons and things that are missing and things that went wrong and things that weaken it overall. And again, it's still great. It's still one of the best seasons of Who, in my opinion, but. I don't think it's going to stand as strong as it could have overall now looking back on it with its closed out finale last night. And again, that's a fantastic, synopsis right there is just a companion and knowing the doctor won't die, you're kind of watching how he'll get out of it and then you're watching how it'll affect those around him. And it didn't really. I mean, again, I know Steven, this drives Steven crazy, but I keep circling back to the ramifications of stealing Amy Pond's baby. And that could have taken Doctor Who to so many interesting places. And we never even got a throwaway line about it.
At the very end of this episode, we got a line where Amy actually says that about, I didn't grow up with my baby or whatever.
Right.
Like, I'll never get to see my you took away my baby and now she's back and she's fine, but she'll never be my baby again. And then she, you know, Colcock murders Kavarian.
Right.
It seems it kind of seems like it was almost throwaway, but like I think that's partially just to do with the fact that, like, we watch TV. People, I mean, main characters kill other people all the time, especially even the Doctor kills a lot of people, or he gets people to kill other people. But if you really think about if you really think about it, though, like, Amy going on to just, you know, I mean, she's always been kind of, you know, very Scottish, like they say. Like, she's very, you know,
been very Scottish.
But she, you know, she can take care of herself and that sort of thing. She's tough. But to go from that to literally just deciding to kill somebody with your bare hands is kind of, I mean, if it was in a real world, if this was the real world and this wasn't Doctor Who, that would be pretty heavy. Like,
well, I mean, but again, it doesn't even count. It wasn't even real Amy. It was the weird Amy that had that alternate universe where she was trained and she was a badass silence hunter. I mean, so it doesn't even really count as the Amy that we knew, because that was a complete spin-off Amy who existed in an alternate reality who had been hunting down the silence and training.
It's not like that. It's not like that. Her experiences disappeared, though. Like, they bring those experiences into the new Amy. So the new Amy even talks about how heavy it was that she literally killed somebody. And then River tries to make the argument that you were making, that it doesn't count. And Amy, like, literally says, "No, I remember it," which means it happened. You know,
right? So. Right.
Well, and that's what happens to a lot of these companions, though, right? I mean, they end up with giant guns and killing people and as soldiers and scary. Yeah, that's kind of a theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to. They're pushed into it by Doctor Who's in action.
Unless their memories get wiped and they don't remember any of it.
Right. Wow, you're right, because that's what happened to Rose. Rose is just cruising around town with a giant gun, blowing people up. And Martha, too. Shit.
Yeah, Martha became a fucking mercenary, and Mickey was like a nothing, and then he, you know, he had a gun and was fighting Santarans and shit. So.
And Donna was a bitch.
The children of time.
Love Donna. Sorry.
Who?
I said Donna was a bitch.
Donna. Oh, Donna rules. She's the best.
Yeah, Donna. Yeah.
She didn't have a gun, is what I was saying.
Well, not anymore.
Donna had a verbal now.
Donna became like almost became like a female doctor, which is kind of a reference, because they've been like, since Doctor Who began, or since the Regenerations began, there's always been rumors floating around that the next doctor is going to be a female, or is going to be a girl, or is going to be black, or whatever. But the female doctor has always been a big
Get
thing.
Get Mos Def.
Get Mos Def.
Do it. Get me Mos Def.
We've transitioned to talk a little bit about
him in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's pretty much the character he played.
So I have another question. I don't know, Dolly, where were you going to go? Because I have some other stuff.
If you want to go ahead, I was going to say we started transitioning a little bit into the overall season. But continue if you still have more to say about this finale. Hop along, Cassidy.
There are a couple things that kind of make me scratch my head. So they made a big deal about the suit, right, and how River couldn't control it. And there was this huge emotional moment where she's like, you know, you got to run. And he's like, I did run, and here I am. And then all of a sudden, it was like a light switch where everything froze, and she's like, oh, guess what? I'm in control of the suit after all. Depowered it. Ha-ha. Like, why did they even need River? Why didn't they just send an automatic astronaut suit to kill the doctor?
then it really would have been an impossible astronaut.
It's just so confusing to me. Like, it's such a weird, like big like, literally book. It was like that. It was just like, oh, guess what? Not a big deal anyway. And it just was weird to me. It was really, really weird. Like I would have thought that they put her in the suit, and then this way she could hide out or wait on the bottom of a lake somewhere. But
it really felt like they were trying to leave themselves as many opportunities. Like, they didn't want to box themselves in at all. So they left so many loose ends so that, like, no matter what they wanted to do narratively, that they could do it. And I think you're right that, like, it was so random. Like, why was she – you expect when someone sets up a mystery in the first episode, by the end, it all makes sense. You're like, oh, okay. Well, this is all very logical. She was hidden in a, you know, spacesuit because she needed that to sustain whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't write Doctor Who. But it was very random. She was just – she didn't even need to hide there. Like, why did he need to die? I don't know.
Right. Well, and then the other thing – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I was wondering if it was when I first saw the first episode of the series or of this new season, and he said, "It's all right, I know it's you," and then they opened up the suit. Like, I literally thought that by the end of the season or within a few episodes or whatever, we were going to see that happen. And I thought that it was going to be empty. I thought that was going to be the big reveal when I first, you know, when I first watched the episode, was that the suit was going to be empty and we were going to find out what the suit was all about. Like, I thought the mystery was about the suit, but so that was kind of an interesting that you mentioned that, I thought. But I'm wondering if the whole thing about her being in the suit was because they knew the doctor had to be there. I'm wondering if the fixed point in time wasn't that Riversong had to be and the doctor had to be there or you know, something like that along those lines, because he says that the part of it that was fixed in time was that he had to be there. I was wondering if maybe the fixed point, and they knew that it was a fixed point, that the doctor had to be there and that River had to be there. But then they put her into the suit because as like a medium, so that they could use that opportunity to kill him without like without allowing her to interfere with it in some way. Like by putting her in the suit, I'm wondering if they're not imprisoning her to keep her from coming there and saving him and protecting him. The murder weapon, but like the suit is a prison keeping her from changing things.
Right.
That's kind of how I view it.
I see what you're saying, because she had the date and time, and she knew when it was going to go down and all that, and so she could have stopped it theoretically. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I was irritated by as long as we're talking about time and getting, again, like, as we seem to be biologically inclined to do, thinking too hard about Doctor Who. But
I can't help it.
I was a little bit bothered by like the fixed point in time. I really like fixed points as an idea, because I think that they say that there are things that happen in our existence that are so important that no one can change them. And I think that, to me, fixed point in time has always been sort of a defense mechanism for us as humans, that the things that happen to us, some things are so important that you can't just come along and change them. They're too key. And it almost hints at the presence of a higher power of some sort, somebody who's making sure the gears go. What bothers me about that is all in the fixed point vein is that there's never an organic reason for the doctor to be at that beach to get killed.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing of import about that moment other than it's a fixed point in time. There's nothing about that moment that really happens for any other reason other than it's a fixed point. He's not there. I would believe the doctor dying at a fixed point to save someone or to do something of import, but it really is basically like Calvary. I mean, he goes there to Silencio Beach to die because that is what happens, but there's not a reason for it to happen. I mean, there's no sort of greater impact attached to it, at least that we know about, you know?
Like if you look at the end of time, you know, when David Tennant died or when David Tennant's doctor died, the reason he was in that house was because all of these events were converging on themselves. So you had the that weird arc thing that those people had built, and then you had Rassilon coming back from the Time War, and you had the Master, and all these things converging. And the reason the Doctor had to be – there was a reason that the Doctor had to be there when Wilfred had to get out of the box. And then the reason he let him out of the box is because he's the Doctor. He's not going to let him die.
That's a great comparison, I think, because that's another moment that is so huge and it had to happen. But that's about the Doctor doing something. And this was more about the Doctor fulfilling a plot point than it was, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was like he was a puzzle piece that had to fit into this one specific moment. And the only reason he had to fit there was because that was the shape of the piece that fit there. You know, maybe a bad analogy, but I think you get what I'm trying to say.
There's a logic to it.
Okay, yeah, for sure. So, and then, like, speaking – no, sorry. You done, Steve? Or?
No, I was just – yeah. Or I mean, yeah, I'm done. I was just going to extol on that analogy a little bit, make it a little bit – refine it maybe. But no, go ahead. Yours is probably way more important.
Not at all. I was just going to bring up the other thing that was bugging me, but we can keep talking about this until we're done.
No, I want to hear the other thing that bothered you.
Yeah, I want to hear that too.
Does anybody else think that the Silence, when they were introduced, had this incredible potential to be unlike any other Doctor Who villain? And by the end, when you start thinking about how they went about killing the Doctor, they're kind of pathetic. I mean, think about it. So you've got these memory-wiping aliens who, the second you look away, they're, you know, you forget about them. They're really tough to fight. They can make snap, crackle, pop electricity and blow people up. And they're apparently this religious order that transcends time and space, and they can time travel wherever. So what do they do to take out this guy who's supposedly the biggest enemy? They capture a kid. They send her back to the 60s. They bring her up in a dilapidated orphanage. They mind wipe her. Then when she regenerates out of there, they bring her back to the 90s, I guess, where she then grows up with her parents, which whatever. Then when the moment comes when she could finally kill the doctor, she screws that up, makes one attempt on his life, and then botches that. Then instantly turns and falls in love with him, gives up all of her regenerations to bring him back to life, which again goes against everything that she was supposedly mind-wiped and trained to do. Then you flash forward where she spends her whole life, everything she does from that point on is because of the doctor wanting to find him again. Then they pop up randomly and they're like, oh, hey, guess what? Our master plan involves you sitting at the bottom of a lake, and when the time comes, you go pow, pow.
It really would be like, okay, Greg, so what's plan B that you've developed for us? That seems like a fine place to start, but what else
you got? It's just like, you got, there's so much more to do, and it's just so retarded. No, it's just so...
Sean, yes. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just letting you guys know I'm going to have to mute myself for just a second here as I go deal with some stuff, but I'm still listening.
Thank God.
Bye. Thanks, Dolly. Bye.
Thanks, Steve. You raised a good point about the silence. They could have just zapped him.
Anytime. Countless times. I mean, even in the alternate universe, he didn't even know they were fighting. And he's like, oh, look, I got marks on my arm. I don't know how I got a marker, by the way. But look, I got marks on my arm. And, Winston, you've been shooting some aliens. I don't know.
You know what I found really interesting was when they all burst through the door in that alternate, in that bubble time. And they all come in almost like... They kind of look like idiot penguins. They just like burst the door to like, where do we go? Where's the doctor? And also Amy's like, I'm just going to fucking kill all these guys. Just blast them apart.
And it's not like there's one or two of them. I mean, there have been plenty of episodes where we've seen like a hive of them.
Yeah.
Like dozens or hundreds hanging from the ceilings or chilling out under like catacombs in Florida.
Maybe it's the more there are together, the decrease in intelligence that they suffer. Because it seems the larger the grouping...
And then they allow themselves to be captured in the alternate universe, and they just chill in those weird tanks until the time comes. Like, why? They didn't amount to anything. And then
I was just going to say, and I mean, they had such potential with them to go back and do anything. I mean, they could use them to explain or change anything that they wanted to the reason we didn't know that was because the silence made them forget. And right, I mean, you could have used them in any creative way. And that's what I thought that they were going to do with them, was to go back and change our perception of an event now that we know about these creatures.
In theory, they should be the one enemy that the doctor can't out-clever. Because he can't think about them. He can't remember them. He can't. By the way, T-minus how many episodes until an illogical plot point is explained away by the silence? Like, oh, yeah, the doctor didn't go rescue Amy because the silence made him forget about her for 7 episodes, I guess?
And I would have even accepted that. I would have accepted that.
I would have taken it too, yeah.
Amy's not upset about her baby because the silence made her forget. Wibbly wobbly. But
at least that would have been an excuse.
Right. And I looking back on it, I'm so confused and so disappointed because they should have been so much more. They should have been so much more.
Is there, and this is still sort of season in general stuff, but is there a point for you guys at which, and I mean, like, we've all sort of laughed about, I think that the illogical nature of Doctor Who is honestly one of the fun things about it, and like as we sit here and go backwards on it, it's like, yeah, okay, that's all ridiculous, but you know, it's Doctor Who. It's not, is there a point at which the show could get too wibbly wobbly or Calvin Ball or however you want to describe it, to where the rules are abolished to such an extent that it's hard to find stakes in anything? Is that a concern for you guys?
Yeah, most definitely for me. I relate it to like what happened in the last couple seasons of Lost, where they just started to do whatever they wanted to do with time and space and mythology to explain things and to, you know, to leave loose threads. And I do have a fear that that's going to happen to Doctor Who. And I was hoping that, you know, with the silence, they could kind of, you know, to some extent, what you were saying, Sydney, that they could just kind of fix a lot of those past mistakes and tie everything back up and make it a nice, clean, bundled plot. But I think this season, and even season five, the Doctor's no longer this mysterious character. It seems like everybody knows him. Everybody's out to get him, especially with the Pandorica and the Big Bang from last season. And this season, it seemed like he was, you know, enemy number one across the board. And everybody had known him. So that mysterious Doctor was gone, which I loved from the first, you know, the David Tennant and the Christopher Eccleston years, that the Doctor was still this guy that people didn't really know existed. Well, everybody knows he exists now. At least it seems like it.
It seems like they might be pulling back away from that a little bit by the end of
the
episode.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right. That's exactly what they're doing. They're just resetting that.
They're going to paint themselves into a corner, and they want to get out of it.
If we can imagine that Doctor Who, and I think that as complicated as it all gets, I really do think that you can imagine two time streams and that really making a sense of a lot of it. There is the chronological time stream, and then I think there's a time – whether or not this makes practical sense – there's a time stream connected to the Doctor. And in the Doctor's time stream, whatever that may be, he is dead. I mean, for all intents and purposes, in that sort of other continuity where is outside of our normal time, the Doctor is dead. Working from that perspective, I think it'll be nice to back off of the whole coming storm. Everyone knows him. You know, everyone. No, okay, we won't. Sydney looks sad that we're backing off of the coming storm.
The coming storm is the.
People will still call him the coming storm.
That's the coolest thing ever.
That's a great name, yeah.
It's the name of our fantasy football team, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Really?
That's awesome.
Good name.
So, I guess my only other big question from the episode, sorry if I've been harping on a lot of this, but did they need to get married?
I think they did.
Sean being on this show because Sean thinks the way that I won't admit to thinking. Like, yeah,
I'm just so confused.
Can you get married?
Oh, I liked it.
I liked it a lot. Well, no, that's not true. I liked it okay, but
it was a sweet moment. Certainly,
it was very sweet, but it wasn't even that sweet because he's another one who went from like basically she's talking about how, you know, I love you, and to me, it's worth the universe imploding over. And he's just like, you're embarrassing me. I think he even said that I'm embarrassing you at one point.
Yeah.
He was just it went from like he was just like loathing her.
Keep in mind that might not have been him saying that. He might might have been the captain of the test saying.
Well, that's a whole other question.
Or he might have been saying pictured is that he was kind of saying it. He didn't really mean it. He was saying it to try and get her to stop and let him do his thing. You know, let him try to reset things.
So they did it. Did they do it because it had to be done because that's what had to get the universe moving again? Or because he made it seem like all they had to do was touch each other at one point.
Yeah.
And then the fixed point goes on moving. But it's just weird. The whole River Song character now is so weird because she started as this mysterious kind of badass, and then she got rewritten, but then her backstory is she's a crazy psycho kid, and then she falls in love with the Doctor, and then she actually grows up and spends her whole career just to find the Doctor again. It's just – I don't know. And now – so she's going to take the fall, right? I mean we got the answer that the reason she's in jail is because she killed a good man. The good man's a Doctor. So she kind of gives up her days to do that, but then they get their nights, which was like a nice winky wink to the audience, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Overall now, I think the River character has changed a lot from when it was first introduced. And I guess the wedding thing is just kind of a crux for me. I just don't – was it legit? Was he into it, or was he just kind of doing it because he had to do it?
At the risk of sounding kind of mean, I mean, didn't it kind of seem like – and I don't mean this to be mean-spirited – but like kind of a common running joke, I guess, is that, you know, maybe not a joke, but you know, he maybe he married her to basically get her to shut up. I mean, to stop bothering him about it. I don't mean this to be mean-spirited at all towards the, you know, the institution of marriage or anything like that, but like but like I'm sorry, but like
marriages, you know, Stephen, most marriages are founded on trying to get the woman to shut up. That's true.
I was actually an expert opinion.
I think you cut through a lot of the gristle and really got to the meat at the center of the.
I'm sorry, you made a terrible mistake, Justin. I'm sorry. It didn't work.
What I'm trying to get at is that, like, that. I mean,
you're
that's
never going to find your Amy Pond, Stephen.
No, what I'm trying to say is that that's like almost a common like TV sitcom-y kind of joke, but like, and I was trying to tie it into what the doctor was trying to do was. try and give her enough of himself to allow her or to get her to allow him to kill himself, like to do what she thought was killing him. I mean, but like to give her that last kind of
so then it circles back, right? So then it's a one-sided thing, and that's my question. I mean, my question is, was all of this has been built up, especially when she was first introduced and she was the only one in the universe that knew his name, and there's only one way she could know his name. And it's the kind of – the subtle groundwork has always been laid there that they have something really special, if not marriage, then something pretty close. So now we've got the quote-unquote wedding, and then it just – the way it was handled makes me really wonder if the doctor is still doing his thing where he kind of manipulates everybody around him. But then he talks about all the adventures they're going to have, and obviously they did have, because he's still 200 years older now, right? I mean, going into the next season, we've got the 1,100-year-old doctor now, right? That part wasn't erased.
No. Not as far as I know.
Jim the Fish and all that.
That's true. And can I make the point, though, on one hand, from the female perspective, he's also really bad with women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of his character is that he really has no clue what to do in the romantic realm. I think that's pretty obvious. Seriously?
So you're saying I should stop modeling my approach to women off the doctor? Because that might explain a couple things for me.
I guess I'd go ahead and abort that plan now.
Yeah. That was maybe part of what I was trying to get at, was that like that is like a common – like I was saying, trying to say, it was like a common like sitcom-y joke of like the stupid husband who makes that joke to another character in a thing or whatever. But like it almost seemed like it was the doctor trying desperately to think of something to give her – you know, like I was saying, give her something to allow him to let that happen, like get her to allow him to do something.
I promise that I don't speak exclusively in terms of plot holes, but this one has been really bugging me. So he was the Tesselect, right? That's what we're calling it.
Tesselecta.
So the Tesselecta. The doctor switches over to the Tesselecta at that moment in the bar, presumably, right? As far as we know.
Right.
Does that mean that the Tesselecta was A, always on the beach, B, was the soothsayer? Right?
Man.
Right.
Tesselecta has been chilling frozen in time. That A is like completely bizarre that he like has a beard and has been chilling frozen in time. If the doctor could have her look in his eye and see that it was all cool, could he not have just done that on the beach? Be like, nah, it's cool. I'm in this doctor's eye. Look at the – wink, wink. We're on the beach now. I don't have to have you ruin time. It's cool. Couldn't he hint to her on the beach that it's cool?
Maybe he didn't expect her to be able to power down her suit. Maybe he wanted her to know, too, that, you know, he was going to be dead.
If he wanted to trick her,
because she messed with the quote-unquote fixed point – then that's why everything kind of went forward to where it is.
Oh, you're saying that he didn't know that – okay, so what you're saying is he thought that she would just kill him.
Right, I'm saying he didn't want her to know
he was alive.
Right. That's my guess. I think he nailed it.
No, I would buy that. Yeah. He was trying to create the cover-up that he had died, and so she was instrumental in that.
That's a common TV trope too, right?
Like not like a character not telling other key characters about something because you know, it's too dangerous to let you know, or it's like I couldn't take the risk to let anyone else know.
It's definitely a common Doctor Who trope right now. I mean, he and Persona have been doing that for years now. I mean, look what he did with Amy Ganger Amy and stuff. But I do agree with you on the Tessalecta. Also, is it? I thought I was very impressed that it was so doctor-like. I kind of forgot that it wasn't a robot, because the last time we saw it, it was very robot. Like when it assumed the role of the Nazi and it was all like stiff and weird talking and stuff. So, I mean, that's fine. But I was very impressed that they jumped into that. And my guess is maybe the doctor's mind was controlling it. Maybe he was hardwired into it or something, because it was very doctor-like for a robot.
Well, that's what I figured too, is the doctor was the one running operations in there. And he would have clearly he would know how to run the Tessalecta better than the people who run the Tessalecta. So, because he's the doctor.
Yeah.
Tessalecta Mark II. It's a fun discussion. A lot of talking points here.
Okay, so like we're all really harping on the negatives of this, right? But like we all enjoyed the episode and the season, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think we all. That's what else do we have to do but pick apart the little things? But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the last episode was great. I'm just going to preface it with I love happy endings. I kind of wish that all shows, movies, books, Justin knows this, would just start with the happy ending and then carry on from there. I don't know why we need so many conflicts when everybody could just be happy. But so coming from that perspective, of course I loved it. Yeah.
Clearly you've never taken classes on story structure where conflict is kind of the thing that the thing is made out of.
Man, Steven, how are you still single? I don't get it. Ladies, he's right here.
It's not like I'm...
Helen, like saw your comprehension of narrative structure like daily if you want it. If that's what you want, he's into it. Whatever you need. What's that, your physician? Helen saw your intelligence? He don't give a shit.
She's a physician. Like that doesn't like that she's, which obviously indicates that she's incredibly intelligent. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to insult her intelligence.
Where are you digging your hole here, buddy? Where are you going?
Shut up.
Just quit while you're ahead, man.
This is the
moment that you claimed that was Ganger Steven, and you had him, him killed.
Quick, turn on the Scottish screwdriver. I need to melt.
This is a fixed point. There's no going back for you after this.
I mean, let me say, I understand the concept of conflict.
Are you sure?
I've read some books in my time. Conflict is necessary is what I'm trying to get at.
No, I get you. I was actually being comical that I only enjoy stories without conflict. No, I get it. I'm a sucker for a happy ending is where I was going with that. But either way, whatever, that's fine.
Is this a part where I tell everybody my OkCupid profile information? No. I'm kidding.
Anyway, back to your question. I'm trying really hard to get away from this.
Nobody is enjoying this moment more than I am, by the way.
Wait, Steven. We got another call. Steven, you are a moron. Dalek Boris, want to let you know.
A little harsh from the Dalek.
Harsh from the Dalek?
Yeah.
Dalek doesn't hold back.
Dalek, like, what's the next thing we're going to talk about?
The next thing. I want to talk a little bit about just the season in general, which we've been kind of chatting about, I guess, the entire time.
Just rewind the podcast about 30 minutes and listen to it again.
Go ahead. We'll wait.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a horrible loop.
Yep.
As you get for this moment again.
Yes. The next is essentially our hopes for the next season and what the future of Doctor Who holds.
Okay, is this including the Christmas special?
Yeah, so we have the Christmas special coming up. That's going to satisfy us a little bit, but then I doubt that the question, which it looks like the question is the next big thing about the Doctor Who, at least from the vibe I got from the last few scenes that
Before we go into that, Dolly, did you guys see the little a 3-minute short that they did?
No. They do one like every year.
Did one after it aired after Doctor Who on Saturday. I guess there was a contest with school children who could write, whoever wrote the best episode got it produced. So there's actually an episode floating up there. I think it's called Death is the Only Answer. Mm-hmm. And it's the Doctor interacting with Albert Einstein. It's pretty neat. It's not canon or anything, but it's a fun little three and a half minutes if you want a little more of your Doctor Who fix.
Oh, wait, and a school-aged child wrote that? Death is the only answer?
Great.
Those British kids are
from the kids that write
scary, aren't they?
I think. I mean, can we all go under the assumption that this was like edited for well, like by the writing staff? Like they didn't just take like a third grader's like script submission sent in on like a princess.
Nope.
My Little Pony. Notebook.
It was on Doctor Who Confidential. It stars Nicholas Grace as Einstein, Matt Smith as a doctor, and was written by the children of Junior Oakley School.
You know what's fascinating about that is that when he was getting into the role of the doctor, Matt Smith actually wrote stories about the doctor meeting Albert Einstein as a way to sort of find his way into the character. He wrote short stories about that. Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
Or maybe so there's not that. A coincidence. I might have picked it for that reason.
There's that, which is like 3.5 minutes. And then there's a little – the BBC also put together the timeline of River Song narrated by Alex Kingston. So it puts all of her story in order. And it's actually pretty neat. It's not bad. Oh. Again, as long as you turn off the very plot-holy elements of your mind, then it's not too bad. It's actually a lot of fun.
And by the way, that like 3-minute short that you're talking about, I don't know if this is kind of more for the listeners, but they do one of those like shorts at the end of every season. This is not the first one. You can find them online. I don't think they air them in America that often. But
no, they don't. You're referring to the Children in Need specials.
It might just be the Children in Need special. I'm not quite sure. I'm thinking like. There's one where I think it takes place after season three, between season three and season four, where David Tennant meets like Peter Davison's doctor inside the TARDIS and stuff, and
they kind of interact a little.
Time Crash, yeah, okay.
I think those are all Children in Need specials.
Mm-hmm. Are they okay? Well, they're fun. They're nice little things. They're not really. I mean, they're kind of separate from everything else. It's not that they really interfere with anything. It's just that they're like little fun. Interesting tidbits that people might want to take a look for.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sean, you were saying after the this episode or the short, and after the Christmas episode.
Oh, I wasn't, but I will. so we're talking about what we want next year, right?
Yeah, we'd like to see at least story wise continue from the Doctor.
I'd like to personally. So obviously, they're building up. The big thing to come is Doctor Who with the question mark and whatever. So my best guess is that's going to lead us into the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everybody's guess.
I mean, right. I don't think it'll be self-contained to just season 7. Personally, I'd like to see – and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'd like to see them step back from the overarching season plots because I – I'm just a little more disappointed than I thought I would be. And I still love this season. I still think it's got some of the best episodes and easily the best acting. But I'm a little disappointed in how, like I said, they handled the silence and all that stuff.
But silence, I think, will be back. I think that they'll be – like
if Doctor Who does one thing, it's definitely reusing old villains. Like,
sure.
Well, I mean, that's not an uncommon thing. These are Stephen Moffat's villains. These are the ones that he's been kind of building up over the years. So yep. I think
– The Weeping Angels and the Silence, you know.
Do you think River will still feature?
That's a good question.
I think she'll definitely be back. I don't know how. I feel like we've exhausted her story at this point. So I guess maybe we'll see her in one-offs. But maybe. We know how she begins. We know how she ends. So there's only – the only thing that they can really do is just do some of those stories they allude to, Jim the Fish and Easter Island.
It's great because she only has – I mean – you really can draw her out at any time. I mean, the way the show works, you can go fetch River whenever you need to. I mean,
which is why we'll see her again. Yeah, right.
up until a point, like because eventually the characters will get older and they'll start looking different.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, that's why they like Angel and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They were going to do more stuff with that, but they decided, like the actors who played them decided they couldn't because they didn't look like their 21-year-old selves anymore. Like that's the thing that happened. You know, they were supposed to be immortal characters, but they didn't look immortal. So
Sure. Personally, just a quick summary. I think I'm excited about new companions. Yeah. I think we'll get at least one new companion. I can't imagine how they'll keep Amy and Rory on.
I think they've had their time.
Yeah, I think they'll do one-offs, and I'm sure they'll be involved in the 50th, but I don't think we'll see much more than next season. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about more kind of individual stories, hopefully more like the Doctor's Wife and stuff like that. And I guess I'm excited to build into the 50th anniversary special. Looking forward to hearing about that.
I think that's probably – when is that special? That's in 2000 – is it? 2013.
Yeah, well, the 50th is 2013, but there hasn't been any details yet.
So 2012 is the next season. So there have been rumors that it's going to be during the fall of 2012. And
oh yeah, it's definitely not starting until the fall.
Oh my god!
I know, god. But Dolly, can I? I'm kind of regressing back into the finale here to talk about that. But like we kind of, I was going to say glossed over, but we didn't even mention it. A pretty big important moment in this finale here, which you guys probably didn't even pick up on, unless you've seen
we don't understand plot holes in fiction.
Yeah, of course, because you don't take English classes like I do. because you guys probably never saw. A lot of you probably don't know a ton about the old series. Like Dolly, you said you came out on Netflix, so I don't know how much you guys have watched the old series. But Brigadier Lethwich Stewart died.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Like for those who don't know, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart was in the show in like the second, and I think the first time he showed up was during the second Doctor's run. He was a huge character. He was the leader of UNIT, which has been mentioned before in Doctor Who in the new show, and he has been mentioned a couple times, but he's never been shown on screen. Mm-hmm. He was a huge character in Doctor Who, in the second Doctor, and very, very big in the third Doctor, because the Doctor was actually a member of UNIT for the third Doctor's run, because they confined him to Earth, the Time Lords did, and stuff, so he had to stay there and work with them. He was a character for about close to 50 years now, and then they finally just cinched it off that he died, because I believe the actor who played him died long ago, but
it was a recent death.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, and that was heartbreaking. That was a beautiful scene.
Yeah, and I was really sad about that, and I can't believe we almost completely glossed over that, but it was sad, and it was very nice to see him get a mention like that and everything, and the whole part about him always leaving out a second drink for the Doctor was really nice, and I really like that.
I am glad you mentioned that, and then this is going to tie into what kind of my hopes for the next season. The Doctor mentioned he did a lot of fan service. He said, one point in time, he could go to all of Jack's stag parties. He could go to, he brought in a lot of these things from previous episodes and previous seasons that hadn't really been mentioned. So I think that could I wouldn't be surprised if Jack makes one appearance in next season. I think that would be awesome to have him in there. If on the 50th anniversary or not, I'm not sure. But
have they done something Matt Smith and Jack?
No.
No.
Not at all.
I think they may have both been on the Graham Norton show at the same time. I'm not sure. But I really think next season is going to be a lot of one-off episodes like you were saying, Sean. And I'm really hoping for that, just because it'll be a nice more science fiction-y, less story based look at the Doctor. It'd be really interesting.
What?
Steven, is that you?
Sorry, Steven? Yeah, that's me. Hold on.
Okay.
We had like I said, we had like a Korean potluck going on in the other room, and there's a lot of good food in there. I was going back for more rice.
Steve,
I forgot.
You either live the most interesting life as a college student or the saddest life as a college student.
I was going back for more rice. I'm sorry. I forgot to mute my mic. Oh, but before anything, again, I just kind of wanted to mention one more thing about Brigadier dying. Do you think, and this kind of ties into the next stuff too, do you think in the next season or at some point in the future of the show that they'll somehow tie in Elizabeth Sladen's death? Again, if people don't know, the actor that played Sarah Jane who has showed up in the revised series a couple of times. She died of cancer here a couple months ago. So I'm wondering to see what they're going to do with that character, especially since she had her own spin-off series.
Yeah,
she had her own
debut this week, moment. Actually, they'll probably do a little moment with her, but no, I wouldn't expect it to be too.
No, I imagine they're probably just waiting for her series to end because they filmed about half of it before she passed. So
okay.
They might circle back to a reference next season or in the 50th.
Justin, let's hear kind of what your hopes are for the next. The future of Doctor Who.
I think the thing that was so interesting, I think the thing that works best about Doctor Who is when I can't sort of see what's coming. And I think part of the problem with this season was like, oh yeah, I kind of see what's coming. I think they need to introduce new people that I can worry about since I can't worry about the Doctor. I think they need to introduce someone that doesn't know the world but won't necessarily be – I don't want to necessarily see the whole Babe in the Woods bit again where they're learning that they're traveling through time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want someone that I can worry about, will be a good companion but won't necessarily be the exact same story they've already told. I also – and this is just – maybe this is a little fan service here, whatever. You've got the 10th Doctor is somewhere out there in another dimension. I want him to come save the day at some point. Maybe that's next season. Maybe it's the season after. Yep. He's out there. Go find him.
Yes. Good call.
Sydney, what about you?
She feels the same way.
Excellent.
She's had to step away from the mic to do something doctorish. Ah. So I'm answering for her, and I know that is exactly what she wants. The only thing is that doctor can never be put in peril because he and Rose have to live forever in happiness. Excellent. And marital bliss.
Girl. As all stories need to end. As
you know, before you mentioned that, you talked a little bit about the Babe in the Woods and how you'd like to see a whole a whole new cast of people that need the Doctor or need help, but not the same old same old thing they've done. I'd love to see a Dalek companion.
Get the hell out of here!
What if you did a Dalek who was half? What if you did somebody like we saw in Manhattan, who was mainly Dalek but looked like a person, like maybe like Seven of Nine, like you saw in Star Trek.
Like Seven of Nine.
I'm literally dying inside listening to this.
No, I.
First of all, those Manhattan episodes were terrible. They were awful.
Yeah, bad.
They were not good.
They had such a. That was another one where the premise was kind of good, and then it was just completely botched.
I would really like to see a humanoid component, companion, but it'd be cool if it wasn't somebody from Earth in our time and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd love to see a future companion.
They've had other species as companions in the past. There was a Romana, Time Lord companion for a long time with Tom Baker.
Wasn't Adric from another planet too?
Adric was either from another planet or he's from the future or something. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but I was actually at the end of season 3, maybe because I was naive and I didn't know how television worked and how everything has to return to equilibrium at the end of the season. I was really excited to see the Master become a companion, like almost a half prisoner, half companion to the Doctor. I was kind of excited to see something like that happen, but I totally agree with Justin. Like an otherworldly companion would be totally cool.
Absolutely. Just no Daleks, no Cybermen, no mortal enemies.
Speaking of mortal enemies, I'm about to turn you guys into mortal enemies. It is trivia time. And as far as trivia time goes, we are switching it up ever so slightly. We're now making Stephen and Sean their skills being a little bit more important to our readers. Taylor had a great idea the previous episode to make Stephen and Sean, the co-hosts, play for a couple of our readers against our new against our guests for the week. So in this case, it'd be Justin and by association, I guess Sydney, since she's not on the call anymore, would be playing for themselves. Sean is going to be playing for Richard Ibateo. Hope I spelled that or said it right. And then Stephen's going to be playing for there you go. Stephen's going to be playing for J.L. Green in this trivia session. The winner gets the really cool Doctor Who Visual Dictionary, which is it's a hardcover book. It's got everything from just beautiful imagery from the Doctor Who over the many incarnations and reincarnations of the character, his enemies, the tools he uses, some timelines. I think there actually it's actually a really cool book. There's actually a River Song pseudo timeline in there as well, prior to some of the events of this season. I think the book actually came out at the end of season 5, so in between 5 and 6. Fantastic book. I've seen it at Borders and almost picked it up for myself. But that's what the winner will get.
And then maybe we should just go really quick into how we're representing these folks. I mean, what they did to
If you would like to be represented, all you need to do is hop onto the post that this the podcast is listed in on sidequesting.com, leave a comment telling us you'd like to be part of the show. I guess maybe for this episode, for next week's episode, tell us your favorite moments from the season finale.
And
we'll randomly choose a person to be a contestant on the show.
We're working with – you said it was J.L. Green and Richard. J.L.
Green is for Steve, and Sean is doing Richard.
Right. So Justin and Steve, if you guys haven't seen it, they had to pick their favorite quotes from Doctor Who. J.L.'s was – my favorite Doctor Who quote is from last season's finale when the Doctor says, "I only came for the dancing," which was very fun. Mm-hmm. Richard's was, "For a long time I thought I was just a survivor, but I'm not. I'm the winner. That's who I am, the Time Lord victorious." Which I think is a brilliant choice.
Which one is that from?
That's from The Waters of Mars.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And he writes that it's such a great line that represents a frequent dark anti-hero nature of the Doctor, even when he tries to do good. Right before he falls on his face.
You know what? From this episode, I really liked she thinks you're Mr. Hottie-ness, and she wants to meet you for texting and scones.
For texting and scones.
You've never done this before, have you?
If we're doing this anyway, I just want to say my favorite quote from this latest episode was, "You and I should go out sometime and then get married."
And have a baby. That.
No, she just said the married thing.
Okay. Well, let's begin the quiz. It's going to be up to 5 points. First person to get the 5 points wins. And I'm going to ask the question you will be answering. This question is these series of questions related to the TARDIS, to Amy Pond, the 11th Doctor, kind of in general, maybe some of the Series 5 and Series 6 stuff, and River Song. So I think it's a good kind of collection of some of the things that I'm going to be asking you guys. So first person to answer, I'm watching the Skype window to see who lights up first with the correct answer. We'll get the point.
Sorry. What's the theme of the questions?
A lot of them.
I missed that. Oh, okay. It's just previously you've had themes.
Yeah, this one is just going to be kind of a hodgepodge of themes. So,
a nice change from last week when four of his questions referred to the same exact things. So,
first question: what is Amy Pond's middle name? Is it Louise, Catherine,
it's multiple choice?
Jessica, Jane, Amelia, Sombrero, or Dictaphone?
Wait, what?
What is Amy Pond's middle name? What is Amy Pond's middle name?
Can you repeat the answers?
Louise, Catherine, Jessica, or Jane?
I'm going to go Catherine.
I'm going to go Jessica.
I'm going to go Jessica.
All right, the correct answer is Jessica. So, Justin and Sean get a point.
Sorry, JL. You're probably screaming into Twitter right now.
Yeah. Since that was multiple choice, that was a little bit – kind of threw you guys off a little. So, let's go
That was pretty obscure too, even for me.
It was
Jesus.
A little obscure.
When did that get said?
Next question. How about
– a good man goes to war, Steven.
Yes.
Oh.
Let's see here. River Song. Where did the River Song question? Because I think that's a pretty good one. River Song is this is gonna be an easy one. Professor River Song is portrayed by which actress?
Alex Kingston.
Sean said it first. At least it showed up on Sean's.
No, it was me. Don't worry about it. I got it.
I just want to say, I heard myself say it before I heard Sean say it.
Sure you would. I mean, it's the internet there.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Hey, J-Max, step up your game.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
At least he has a point. Like, I don't. I'm the one who needs to step up my game. JL is quaking in his boots right now.
What is the name of the episode that River Song first appeared in?
Science in the Library.
Oh, wow. That's a three-way tie.
That's the J-Man right there.
That
smelled like the J-Man to me.
I'm going to give you all a point for that one.
I got a deep whiff, but that smelled like just me.
Dude, that was everybody at the same exact time.
Yeah, pretty terrifying. Sure it was just me, though. Mainly me.
Sometime we're going to have to think of a way to do this that doesn't make this, like, such a hodgepodge.
Sure. Here's I'm going to stick to the female companions. What city or what town are Amy and Rory from?
Ledworth.
Oh, Sean got it. Bam.
Yeah.
Ledworth.
Look at me. I'm on fire when I got somebody to play for. What's up, Rich?
To be fair, I know. Never mind. I'm not even going to make excuses. I just need to step my game up. What's going on?
Hey, you just sit there. You just eat your rice, buddy. You just eat your rice.
I finished my rice, goddammit, and I'm raring to go.
Here's a River Song one. All right, ready, gentlemen? Yeah. What did River Song graffiti on the oldest cliff in the universe?
Hello, sweetie.
Oh, Steven gets it first.
Shit, he got it.
That was awesome. Steven did that so fast, it wasn't even two words. It was like, oh, sweetie.
That was all one syllable.
Not risk missing that.
Hello, sweetie. Not going to embarrass Jail Green.
here's one from Amy Pond. In A Christmas Carol, Amy was the ghost of Christmas.
Future.
You're all wrong. She was Christmas present.
Present.
Fuck.
Look at J-Man trying to sneak in there.
Oh, that was Sydney's answer.
Okay. How about... This will be an easy one. In Flesh and Stone, what was Amy counting down from? What number was she counting down from?
10.
10 is the correct answer. Steven gets a point.
Good question. What's the tally now?
It is right now it is Justin gets 2, Steven with 3, and Sean with 4.
Whoa.
Fuck.
So it's kind of a tight one here.
I better not botch this in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it's also a common like saying, but like, yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, guys.
Okay.
Dolly, keep us going.
All right. When did River say this? Okay, right then. I have questions, but number one is this. What in the name of sanity have you got on your head?
The Pandora Big Bang.
What is you referring to?
The Fez. Oh, that's me.
Oh, I think that was Justin.
And that's the J-Man.
I'll give that to Justin. I heard that even as I was saying it, I could hear Justin saying it. So
yes, all right.
Clearly, he must have said it first.
Apparently, I'm stupid and misunderstood the question.
Well, if you really need reassurance for that, just ask Steven. He'll make you feel stupid. River Song possesses what and keeps it with her at all times?
Diary.
You're all wrong.
What?
She doesn't keep a diary with her. She keeps the upgraded version of the Doctor's 10th Doctor sonic screwdriver.
Well, wait a minute. At all times? We've only seen that once, and that was at the very end of her life.
But she's had it.
Since when?
Since this quiz that I found online says so.
Fine. You can't argue with that.
Your quiz wins this round again.
All right, well, here's a slightly easier one, or maybe one that's actually correct. It is another River Song one. What is River's response to the Doctor when he says, River Song, I could bloody kiss you?
Maybe when you're older.
Yeah, that's correct. Maybe when you're older. Steven gets him.
That's everybody still here, right? Like I'm.
That's 3-4-4, right?
It's 3-4-4.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I'm getting excited. To make it really cool, I have to get the next one. So all right. Just chill out.
Where in the most recent episode, where does What is the Giza Necropolis? What is it labeled as on the front?
Area 51.
Wrong. Area 52.
Oh, Steven does not get it. In fact, Sean does. It is Area 52.
Boom.
That.
Damn. Boom.
Sean wins it. Steve, you had that, Steven. What a.
I know I did. Fuck. Area 52. Sure. Okay.
Sorry, JL
Thank
Green.
Because I hadn't even understood the question at first. Yes.
I should have said, what is the Giza Necropolis labeled as? But I said.
Your way of phrasing that was a little bit weird. I mean, I understood what you were saying, but it was a little bit
so
weird.
So for those who want to know a little bit inside of baseball, the way that I find these quizzes is, I'll do a search online, usually a few hours before the show, and then I'll have all the windows open. So I'm reading the quizzes from the actual quiz things online as I'm going across. So that's why when I flub my words, I haven't practiced the phrase ahead of time.
Should write these down, dog.
I probably should. Regardless, Richard Ibateo wins the prize, the awesome Doctor Who Visual Dictionary. Richard, we'll get in touch with you.
I'm sorry, JL. I fought for you.
Yep.
I almost won it in the end, but I just couldn't. I couldn't keep it up.
And again, if you
J-Man was close too.
Yes, he was. If you'd like to be a contestant on this show, again, leave a comment on this post telling us your favorite scenes or moments about the season finale, and we'll have you potentially as one of our participating contestants on the next show.
Okay.
That is basically it, folks. I think that's...
Oh, hey, we didn't really talk about what we're going to do with the Lonely TARDIS in the future.
That's a good point. Do we want to save that for the next episode, or do we want to...
Let's just reassure people there is a future.
What the next episode will be.
What's that?
Before I don't think you can put it off to the next episode until you decide what the next episode will be, right?
I was going to do a 50th anniversary live show.
Yeah. You'll see us in 2013. Peace.
Peace out, bitches.
Let's just reassure that there is going to be a next episode.
There is going to be a next episode. We are going to talk about stuff. We have a few ideas, and we will go over them maybe on the next episode. But there's going to be another episode. We had been talking about going through the seasons and kind of looking back at the original Doctor Who episodes, as well
like,
as
like a book club for as Justin put it, which is I thought a really great analogy. So
yeah, I was going to ask Justin, is there anything you think in particular that we should definitely do? Because I know some of the ideas have just been to kind of start back with Eccleston or.
I think it'd be more interesting to talk about.
Hartnell.
Yeah, like, I don't know what series are on there, but, like, I think maybe the Three Doctors would be good because there's three of them. I don't know.
Yeah, there's the Three Doctors.
There's
the Five Doctors.
Cool. Yeah. It's your own show.
Like,
I don't know.
I just, actually, I guess, we would just need to. Well, I know it's our show. I was asking your opinion. God, you're so mean.
God damn it.
You're so mean. No, and we'll figure that out. You know, I think what we have to do is we have to just decide amongst ourselves what we want to focus on, and then find it. Make sure we can all either see it or read it or whatever it is.
Well, yeah,
if it's not on Netflix,
I already know the answer. Like, at least either for the first episode of the non-season of the off-season Doctor Who, or for the the last episode leading up to it. Doctor Who live action movie or the Doctor Who motion picture, whatever it was called.
Oh yeah. Doctor Who the movie.
We watched a documentary about that last night called Dalek Mania. It's on Netflix right now.
Yes, it is.
It's bizarre.
Is it really?
I saw
that Dalek Mania was on there. I did not know what it was about though.
So weird. Peter Cushing as the Doctor who's not like a Time Lord, or he's just a dude named Doctor Who. Like, who is his surname? Bizarre.
Oh no! That's a different Doctor Who movie. There was like the ones in like the 60s and stuff, but there was one in like the 90s too, or the late 80s.
The TV movie,
yeah,
the TV movie.
Oh, yeah, when they tried to reboot the series for an American audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not talking about the Dalek movies. Like, no.
Oh right.
The Dalek movies are weird though. Like that, I think actually Dalek Mania might be an interesting thing to talk about on this podcast. Sure. Now that Justin brings it up, that's pretty cool. That's a good idea too. Well, there's all kinds of ideas.
There's all kinds of ideas, and there's definitely we're not at a loss for content. There's plenty of Doctor Who stuff out there from the TV shows and the movies and the spin-off shows that we can always get into as well, and even books and some of the comics and some of the the crappy Doctor Who games. So there's just plenty of plenty of.
There's some good Doctor Who games too. There's at least one good Doctor Who game.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know what? We'll kind of talk amongst ourselves over the next couple of days here about what we want to chat about, and then we will debut it on the next episode of Lonely TARDIS. Maybe that's when we'll set up the book club as well. Sound good?
I mean, we're not like, literally going to do a book club, right?
Yeah. No, it's not a book club. It'll be a watching club.
Okay.
All right. With that said, this has been Lonely TARDIS. I am Dally Demosky. You can find me at CoolRats, K-E-W-L-R-A-T-S. Steven, where can we find you?
You can find me at Steven Strum, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-T-R-O-M.
And Sean?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Sean Norton, S-H-A-U-N-N-O-R-T-O-N, hashtag how the fuck does a Tesselecta regenerate?
You know what's funny is where can I find you? Okay, well, this is my Twitter. This is my Twitter name. We don't go into like, you can email me at, or you can.
Oh, yeah.
You can find my website more now. It's just Twitter. It's just Twitter now. Yeah,
I mean,
so. I find that kind of interesting.
Isn't that kind of weird, though, like that you could pretty much not have an email account in this day and age still probably like connect to the rest of the world totally fine?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Justin, where can we find you and Sydney?
Sydney and I are our names at Twitter. So I'm at Justin McElroy, M-C-E-L-R-O-Y. She's at Sydney McElroy, S-Y-D-N-E-E McElroy. And we have a podcast together called Losing the Sheen. You can find it at losingthesheen.com. It's a 2.5 Men fan cast for people who don't watch 2.5 Men.
I have yet to listen to that, but I'm really excited.
Thanks for the confidence, Steve-O.
I'm really excited.
You wouldn't like it anyway because it ends with a lot of conflict. So
you know how excited I – you know how – what kind of vote of confidence I'm giving it? I'm telling you to go listen to it right now, and it's going to be great, and I've never even listened to it.
And then tell you all about it, right?
The trust fall.
Go listen to it and be my crib notes for it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. And for all the people who listen to us just off of iTunes, be sure to read the site sidequesting.com, spelled how it sounds, basically. Go read our content, and you can find the podcast there as well as our other podcasts. And we've got some more podcasts coming down the pipeline, too. So be sure to check it out if you're into video games, comics, movies.
A lot of Doctor Who stuff coming down the line as well.
Yeah.
It will be showing on the website. Should be pretty cool. And you can email us with comments at lonelytardis@sidequesting.com. Feel free to drop us a note. Tell us what you think. Hopefully it's something productive and it's not demeaning to our small egos. With that said, thank you everybody for listening to The Lonely TARDIS, Episode 7. We'll see you next time. Adios. Geronimo. Bye. You guys gonna be hanging here. Nobody's even gonna say goodbye to our listeners.
No, we thought you had it under control.
Yeah, you were all on that.
You just had your fingers in it. That's great. I don't either. I don't know what I'm saying half the time.
We know.